So I'm switching to English, and let me just check if you, Frank, can hear me well. Good morning. Still in Kyiv, still has morning, so good morning.
Hey, good morning. We're on the same time zone. Hi from Tallinn.
Okay. So that's great. I'm glad I can see you, by the way. So I'm glad to hear you. Just a quick introduction. So Frank Nurigard, co-founder of Techstars Startup Weekend, here with us today. How are you feeling today? How is your morning?
Pretty good. I don't know. It's like Tallinn. It's slightly colder than Kyiv sometimes. So, you know, a month ago it went down to minus 25, and now we're, you know, starting to see the snow melting, everything's nice. So
I would like to share the atmosphere that's here in Kyiv. And of course I cannot do this like properly by words, but you can be sure that it's quite active here and people are preparing themselves for their final speeches today. I would like to talk with you a little bit more about the hackathon, the weekend that we are going through. Can you please share what's the main idea behind the Techstars Startup Weekend?
Well, I mean, I can tell you about what, you know, what it was. I don't know, you know, if there's any update since we merged with Techstars. And to me, first of all, like, thank you so much for having me. It's always nice to, you know, to reconnect with the community, and especially in Kyiv, which is special for me for so many reasons, including the, you know, the fact I helped to work on the first one a couple of years ago, maybe 9 years ago, I forgot when it was. And at its heart, when we did, you know, Startup Weekend, the idea is education. So the idea is to say, and it's not the case anymore, but, you know, a decade ago, when you told people you could create a business in a weekend, people say, no, it's impossible. It takes, you know, it takes a lot more time. And the whole idea of Startup Weekend was to say, we don't want anyone, you know, we don't want to force anyone into entrepreneurship, but at least we want everybody to be an entrepreneur at least for a weekend. So I don't know if it's the case today with, you know, with your crowd, but my guess is many of you never started a business before, and this may be your first time. And if that's the case, then, you know, at least you've been an entrepreneur for a weekend, and then you can start to realize, you know, if that's something you want to pursue after.
Can you recall how did this idea of becoming an entrepreneur for a weekend was born? How did it start?
It started, I guess, like in many times, like there was a natural evolution towards that back in 2007, 2008. Because of a crisis, because before a Startup Weekend, you had actually indeed hackathons, but hackathons were something different. Hackathons were developers coming together to build something. Andrew Hyde created the first Startup Weekend in Boulder at the same time as, I guess, Techstars was being born. And at that time, it was slightly different. Like the idea was roughly, you know, 50 people coming together to build one startup, and so you can imagine, like, it get, you know, very complicated, but still, like, the concept started to grow real fast. A couple of years, like a couple of months later, my two other co-founders, Mark and Clint, took over Startup Weekend, and I joined them, I think, 4 months after, and that's when we pivoted from. The goal is to have 50 people or 30 people or 100 people working on one startup and then splitting equity more towards education, more towards community. And at that time, we shifted it from a for-profit model to a non-profit model. Just because when we started on trying to make it like a for-profit, what would happen is people would just say, why should I do a Startup Weekend? Why shouldn't I just do my, you know, Kyiv 54-hour a thing. And for us, it was very important to build the community to the point that we really decided to do that shift towards the nonprofit. And so then it went from, you know, 50 people building one startup towards, you know, 100 people coming together, splitting into teams and closer to what you now know. And, you know, and later on, we build our things. We did Startup Next, which doesn't exist anymore, but it was the first pre-accelerator. The idea was to say for those who went to Startup Weekend and would like to join an accelerator, you can do that thing. And it worked pretty well. I think half of the people there went to Y Combinator or Techstars. And, you know, later on, we ended up growing really fast. I think we reached 135 countries at that point, but the nonprofit model was not working anymore. And that's when we decided to merge with Techstars, who on the side had a more sustainable model, but also because Andrew, you know, back in the days joined Techstars, and also because some of our earlier advisors were Brad Feld and David Cohen, who are also the people, you know, from Techstars. So it was like family. And I'm really, really glad to see, you know, a couple of years later that the model is still working.
It's working very nice. I can assure you. Can you please give us an overview of what benefits are participants getting from attending Startup Weekend like this one?
Yeah, I mean, the first one is you guys are going to make, you know, lifelong friends. There's like a lot of people here today who maybe didn't know each other Friday and now who have, you know, worked together for the whole weekend. And I remember statistics that's like something insane. I think it was like 90% you know, of the people who went for a Startup Weekend will stay connected with someone they met there for more than a year. So I think that's the first one is the community, meeting other people, getting connected. And I think I don't have the newest data, but at least I know that at least 10 to 12% of you will still be working in a startup a year from now, which is quite amazing, like just for a weekend. And then, you know, for very, very, very few of you, like there might be an amazing story, but it doesn't matter if also the other thing I want to say is whether you win or lose Startup Weekend doesn't really matter. Just because, you know, of the format, we need people to win. But what really matters is going to be like, you know, are you going to be keeping working on that thing or figure out your team dynamics? And some of you will. And for the others, then what happens is you can go to another Startup Weekend. Now you also realize you have an ecosystem, you know, across Kiev, but also that goes beyond Kiev because you're also connected to people worldwide. So again, like the biggest value to me is going to be the network, the connection, you know, and that's what matters is to realize you're not crazy. There are other people like you who want to build something.
Yeah, like-minded people around. Mm-hmm. Today, as you might know, at 2 o'clock, the participants are going to pitch their ideas, a final pitch. What advice would you give to the participants who are going to do that?
I don't really have any advice. It's a little like, you know, that's the beauty of entrepreneurship is everybody, by myself, what I can say is what makes a good pitch is the same thing that made a good, you know, pitch on Friday. I don't know, how many pitches did you have on Friday?
How many did we have on a Friday? I'm not sure about the number. I will check, I will answer a bit later.
Like 10, check. 20?
I think more roughly. Than 20. I think more than 20.
Okay. And did you listen to them?
Part of them, because I was not here at that day, so part of them online.
That's fine. The question I would ask you, and you don't have to answer, but maybe all of the people who are listening, is out of these 20 pitch, like which one do you remember?
Quick comment. So we had 53 on Friday, just received.
Oh, wow,
message.
Jesus.
53.
So again, like if you... For the people who listen, you know, what you can think is out of these 50 pitch, which one do you remember? And I think that's what makes a good pitch. And it's a difficult thing. You know, why would your brain remember one or two out of 50? And so, you know, to be concise is a good thing. Some people decide to be funny. Some people, you know, are like the numbers, you can have a crappy presentation, but you'll be like, hey, we already closed, you know, first year, like things like that. So there's no really any rules, but to me, the main one is, will people remember you? And so my advice is think about the one you remember and why, and try to mimic that.
Thank you. That's quite a good advice. Talking about the tech startup weekend, do you have like an idea of how do you measure the impact and the success of this event, or it's not about measuring the success at all?
Again, I'm not involved like in the current post merger with Techstars, but everybody had the same issue. And we know we have an impact. We knew we have an impact, but it's extremely difficult to know what the impact is. And the reason is because we can't track every one of you, you know, for the next 10 years. But I keep meeting people who said, oh my God, I met, you know, my co-founder at Startup Weekend, or I have this first idea at Startup Weekend, which didn't work, but that's why I become an entrepreneur. I had people who got married because of Startup Weekend. You know, so there's family that are born out of that. And these things are very, very difficult to track. But now being at the advantage of, you know, having at least 10 years of data, the main thing for me for Startup Weekend was not to create amazing startups. Like if you want to create amazing startups, then it would be a different format. You know, it would be more towards like, you know, people who are already know what they want to do, etc. So it's easier if you do it, you know, later. But what was important for us was to be sure that we don't prevent great startups to happen. And it's really nice to see that you have, you know, things like Zapier that came out of Startup Weekend. And Zapier is also a great story because they didn't raise venture capital, which is something, you know, that's also important to remember, which is you can build a startup without raising money. You can be self-sustainable. You can be, just bootstrap and slowly grow by yourself. And that works. And so again, in terms of impact, no doubt we have $1 billion of impact from an economic perspective. But after that, as I said, you know, you're going to meet friends. You're going to have all these connections that are going to happen. And like, how do you measure that? I have no clue. Maybe with AI in a couple of years, but right now we can't.
And talking about the network and the people, I'd like to ask about mentors, because we have them and they're helping a lot. What do you think is the main goal of a mentor? What's main idea of being a mentor?
I wrote an article a couple of years ago. It says mentors are like mushrooms, and so I'm always careful with mentors. Like they can be extremely useful, but they can also be extremely, you know, destructive. The coach you have, or the people who came, you know, to help at Startup Weekend, and I'm sure everybody experienced that. You're facing with people who have a lot of experience or people who have network. And sometimes it happens where people would tell you one thing and someone else will tell you another thing. And that's the first thing, which is like, you know, a mentor is not here to tell you what to do. It's a source of information. It's someone who may help you, but it's still your responsibility to choose what your life is about or what your startup is going to do. That being said, if you really think about what mentoring is, it's like this weird dance where someone is going to be talking to you and you say, yes, I agree, or you say, no, I disagree. And after a while, you know, that person will say, okay, I like you. I like what you're doing. And then the mentor will end up, you know, investing in a company, joining the company, like becoming operational in a way that helps. And so to me, if you had like people you really enjoyed working with during this weekend, and they're amazing people because they helped you during a weekend, be sure you follow up, you know, and be sure you try to go to this next level of just having someone telling you, hey, maybe you should do this or maybe you should do that. It really boils down to personal choices on both sides. Like the mentors have to like the startups, and the startup has to like the mentor. But you know, in any startup story, there's always going to be someone, you know, from the outside who's going to be very helpful. And so try to find these people who are good, you know, who have a good dynamic with you the same way as you recruit your team, and then follow up.
Thanks. I'm thinking about the teams and the people who are working hard the last 3 days, and I'm thinking about challenges they might have and different obstacles. What do you think is the main challenge for young entrepreneurs, for young startups? What's the main challenge they might have?
It's again, that's why it's an educational, I think, experience, because the I think the illusion of the startup world is that you just have to work on, you know, finding this idea, and when you have it, and you know, and you raise money, then life is over and you made it and you're successful. The reality of entrepreneurship is it's one shit after another, and it just gets bigger and bigger. So when you do start a weekend, your biggest problems are going to be things like, ah, I don't have an idea. So maybe you have to join someone who has an idea. And then you're like, ah, I don't have a team. And then you start to assemble that team, you know, and then you're like, ah, we didn't do this, we don't do that. We have to be ready for a pitch, and maybe it's not working well. And that's your big problem during the weekend. Then Monday, you have another problem, which is, should I stop or should I keep going? And then, you know, a month later, you'll have the problem of being like, ah, you know, this guy we met at Startup Weekend, maybe it's not the right person for the team, and maybe we need to do that. And so you have like team stability issues after. Which again, like this story is the story of every founder and every startups. And then let's say you pass that. So let's say you have a good, decent idea, a good team. And then you have issues. Everybody has a job, or, you know, it's like, oh shit, we need money. So either you're going to go bootstrapping and getting customers to pay you, or either you're going to raise money. And then you're going to raise money, for example, and then you'll be like, ah, now we raise money, you know, and now we need to, you know, hire more people and get this whole thing. And then 10 years later, you know, your product is working, you need to raise money again. And then you're like, ah, I have this competitor who's just destroying all my plans, you know, and then later on, you might want to go public, and then your company like is on the stock exchange, and then you wake up in the morning and people say, ah, they launched this product and everybody hates it. It just never ends. It's like a muscle. And then you look back at Startup Weekend and you'll be like, ah, that was nothing. That was not even, you know, an issue. Right? But you would think about like in 1 second. And so to me, like you're just, you know, it's like you're going to the gym and this is your first day starting to run, and you're feeling the sweat and all this issue. And, you know, 10 years from now, you'll be able to manage like, you know, way bigger issues. So it's the beginning of that journey. Whatever problem you have right now, you know, if you keep going, these problems are very tiny compared to everything you have to tackle. But again, it's worth it, and it's an amazing adventure when you go through all these things. But the main one you have right now, I would say, if you want to keep building your startup, is going to be how to keep your team together, you know, and how are you going to be functioning for the next 3 months.
So it's not about, as I understood, so it's not about not having challenges. It's always challenges and how we overcome them. That's right.
Yeah. It never ends. It never ends. You can look at any company at any stage, and, you know, I think about Elon, like, do you think he doesn't have issue to deal with every day? Like, it just never stops.
Probably that's the journey, as you said.
Or, you know, or whatever, like, or Bill Gates, or any, you know, any entrepreneur you like, if you really look at them, like, they keep having problems, they never stop.
I'm curious, are there any plans to expand or evolve the format of the Startup Weekend in the future, or do you have like any ideas how the Startup Weekend might change with the time?
I mean, to me, the beauty of Startup Weekend is, you know, it's even if Startup Weekend doesn't exist anymore 20 years from now, as, you know, as part of Techstars, for example, I don't see people stop meeting other people to build startups. So I think, you know, whether it's going to be in virtual reality or, you know, or in remote, or as you know, as you guys are working on, you know, or on site, I think that's number one, is it's not going to go anywhere. There's going to be always a version of that that's always going to be existing. After that, the evolution I'm thinking of and what I've seen is, I think. There may be a need for other things, you know, on top of Startup Weekend. One of them I see is when we started, there were not that many entrepreneurs, you know, at that time. They, like venture capital, when you said accelerator or VC, people didn't know what it means, because there was only two or three. There was one co-working space in New York, maybe two in San Francisco. And now what happened is you have a lot of entrepreneurs who have done startups, thousands of them. And then there's come the time where you crash your startup, you sell your startup, you exit your startup one way or another. And what do you do after? And I feel like the ecosystem will have to find new ways to recycle, you know, experienced entrepreneurs with like, you know, with other things. And right now, a lot of them becomes mentor. But I know a lot of them also looking to build startups. So my guess is, I think the basic of Startup Weekend will not necessarily evolve as a format, but I think there's going to be new tools that are going to be designed for maybe experienced founders matching with, you know, new talent in an operational way. But I'll tell you, I'll try to do some experiments on that.
We are like in a beginning of the AI era. Do you think AI will affect or impact the startup culture in the future?
I mean, the beginning of this AI era was maybe in the 60s. It's been a slow process. You know, you had deep learning 10 years ago, and now we're starting to see a huge acceleration. And yeah, no doubt it's having an impact. There's always, you know, this technological wave, you know, we'll be riding. And right now, clearly AI, maybe blockchain and definitely, you know, mixed reality is the core of the next wave. And maybe a couple of years from now, the next wave might be genetics to program stuff at home. I like what, you know, Sam Altman was saying about that. They have this discussion with himself, like where they half jokes that, you know, the future of entrepreneurship might be a one-person startup. You have the CEO of NVIDIA who says that, and even John Carmack, I think, who's a very famous developer, like bounced on that, that maybe, you know, maybe you'll be able to have people who are developers today might not be needed the same way in the future. So we're definitely in the middle of something super exciting. After that, you know, are we going to a point where an AI will be an entrepreneur? Maybe, and then you know, that's going to be. And there's going to be maybe an AI startup weekend where all, you know, agents meet to each other. But until we get there, super exciting. And to me, the main use you can have today for AI, very direct, is to use it as a way to learn new things. It's really powerful. You know, if some of you don't know anything about development, for example, you can try to give yourself a challenge of developing something tiny, and then work with any AI, you know, LLM that you like talking to, and see that it's possible. And it's gonna keep evolving. It's really hard to foresee what's gonna happen to in robotics. I think I just got myself like a robot to play with, and you start to see some progress also thanks to the visualization and all of that. So anyway, I think if anything, it means economically, it means an increase of productivity. It means that now a team of two or three people can do today what maybe a team of 10 people could have done, you know, 5 years ago. And I gave a class on AI, and part of my pitch was to show people. A friend of mine, he raised $12 million maybe 7 years ago, 8 years ago, to do an AI assistant to which you send an email and that helps you book meetings. And now you can do that in maybe 30 minutes using Zapier, which came out of Startup Weekend. It's kind of a beautiful loop. And some open AI, you know, API. So at the end of the day, now you can build a $80 million, you know, valuation startup from 10 years ago in 1 hour, you know, with your computer. So that shows you how big of an acceleration we went through. So I have no doubt that you guys will have a lot of AI pitched today. And super exciting. Like I have no idea what's going to happen, but it's going to be the sum of whatever you guys are going to be building, and super, super exciting.
I guess that among our listeners on this broadcast, there might be some people who they might have an idea which is not developed yet, but people might be thinking about starting a startup or starting and developing their idea. What advice would you give to the people who are doubting whether it's worth starting or not?
I mean, my advice is just do it, you know, stop thinking. Your idea is going to be crap anyway. Like, everybody thinks we have these great ideas, but like, you can see it over and over again. You know, the idea you have at the beginning, whatever idea you're pitching now, is very likely to shift to something very different. But what matters is the momentum. And so if you have an idea today and you haven't worked on it and you're shy about it, you know, let's be rational about it. Like, what would happen if you don't talk to anyone about your idea? What happened if you don't work on your idea? You know, how many customers will you have? Zero. How many team members will you have? Zero. you know, how much have you learned? Zero. So again, the only way to learn is action. That's why our tagline, you know, is no talk or action. There's a time for thinking and there's a time for action. It's like this French poet who has this quote I like, where he says to think like a strategist and to act like a primitive. So, you know, if you thought enough, long enough about your idea and you're like, I really want to push that, then just try to move it. Like try to, you know, and if it's a complicated idea, then start with a tiny part of it and that you can achieve. And again, you can definitely talk to AI, to GPT and so on, you know, to figure out, you know, what are the steps. But please start working on it.
Thank you, Frank, for your time. Thank you for this conversation and your thoughts you shared with us. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And I guess we are will be hearing final pitches today at 2, and we'll definitely share with you the highlights of the pitches. Once again, thank you for your thoughts.
Thank you very much, and Slava Ukraina.
Heroyam Slava. Thank you, Frank. Bye.